In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Hope you all had a wonderful holiday season. Christmas and New Year is always a great time of the year. Always make us think about family, spend time with family, have family memories. And I was thinking back, just being nostalgic this year. I was thinking back as I was preparing for the sermon to the first Christmas that I had a job. I was 16 years old, and I got a job as a stock boy in a local department store, kind of like a Dillard's or something like that, but local to New York. And I finally had my own money to buy people presents. I've always loved Christmas, so I was excited about that. I wanted to buy my family presents with my own money. And it was fun to kind of think about what people might want. You know, it was the first time I ever really did that, you know, at 16 years old. And then it came to buying something for my grandma. And my grandma was the absolute hardest person in the world to buy anything for. She had everything she needed. She never wanted anything. It was impossible to get her something for Christmas. Nobody knew. In my whole family, no one knew what to get my grandma. So I thought, I had this idea. You know, we had a sale on these electric sweepers. Not a vacuum cleaner, but electric sweeper. You know, her house was in all hardwood floors. And she would sweep them, like, every day with a broom and a dustpan. So I thought, well, I'll get her an electric one. It'll save her so much time. It'll be so much easier. She doesn't have to bend down. It'll be so much better. So, you know, we would go over to her house on Christmas Eve early and you know, have her open her presents. She opened it, and my grandma, God bless her, was a loving person, but she had no poker face whatsoever. So she opened the gift, and she just kind of, what is it? I said, Grandma, it's an electric sweeper. What's it do? I said, well, it's a sweeper, Grandma. You plug it in, and you can clean up your floor without having to use the broom. But I like using the broom. I said, but this is better. I said, no, it's not. I said, Graham, are you serious? This is better than a broom and a dustpan. Just try it. No, you shouldn't have. Take it back. And it went on for about 5 more minutes. And I said, fine, Graham, I'll take it back. You know, I thought this would be a good change. I thought this technology was going to make her life easier. She said, I didn't want to change. I like the broom and the dustpan. Who asked to change? That was my grandma. I mean, she didn't like any change. That kind of sums her up perfectly. But I don't think that sentiment, that attitude is that uncommon, right? Change, when we get comfortable, is something we all struggle with. You know, at certain times in our life, more than others, change is challenging and problematic. But most people, I know this is true of me, prefer to get comfortable and keep things that way. Nobody likes when things change. But change is inevitable. You know, it will happen. It always happens. You know, think about holiday season. Think about how you spent Christmas Eve 20 years ago. Think about how you spent it this year. It was different, right? I mean, maybe it was better. Maybe you have kids now, you didn't then. Maybe you have grandkids now, you didn't then. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe you had a big house full of people 20 years ago, and now, you know, it's not the same. But whatever the case, it was different. Things have changed. Probably every one of your families, and mine too. Things change. So, things change. It's inevitable. And most people don't like it. These two truths, we could say, don't really seem to go together. So it's no wonder that change produces in most of us anxiety, nervousness, and even fear. Major changes can bring about fear. You know, think about first day at a new job, or first day doing something new. It's always kind of butterflies in your stomach. You remember your first day at school, first day back after summer break. It's always kind of butterflies there. Major changes in our lives can bring about fear. And that is exactly what's happening in our gospel this morning. King Herod hears the wise men come and ask him for help in finding the newborn king, whose star they've seen in the sky And our gospel says Herod is frightened at the news. Now think about that situation. Herod is at the time acting as the king of Judea. Now, he is placed there by Caesar as a client king, or what we would call a puppet. And Rome had a tendency to do that. In lands they conquered, they would place someone in a position of authority to give the people a feeling that they still had autonomy. Although, Herod did have to answer to Caesar. But even though he had Caesar as his boss, he still had a great deal of wealth, authority, and power in his kingdom from being king. And Herod loved being king. So imagine when a group of magi, wise men from the east, walk into his palace, not to honor him, not to bring him gifts, but to ask for directions. Could you help us find a way to the newborn king? The one who has a star in the sky? Because we want to go and worship him. And when Herod hears this, he is frightened. And all Jerusalem, our scripture says, meaning all his government, all his administration, with it. Now Herod realizes something big is happening. Our gospel continues to tell us exactly where his mind went. It says, and after he had heard from the wise men and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him in Bethlehem of Judea. Now the wise men didn't mention the Messiah. They didn't really know about the Messiah. But Herod hears about this and immediately his mind goes to, this is big. Could this be the Messiah? The one that Israel has been waiting for. The one that God has promised for centuries. And if God's anointed was about to come on the scene, if God's Messiah, God's chosen ruler, was about to come on the scene, this could be trouble for Caesar's chosen ruler. Now you remember the Israelites had a view of what the Messiah would do. They would come and free them from Rome. They would lead them. Even though they were wrong about that, that's what they were thinking. So Herod thinking the Messiah was thinking, my days are numbered. Things are about to change. Now, let's step back for a moment and look at the situation with the benefit of hindsight that we have. You would think that any Jewish person at that time would welcome the Messiah. He is, after all, God's promise to deliver Israel. He is God's promise for centuries. It is what Israel has longed for, is the Messiah. But as happens in life so often, Herod puts his own agenda, his own ideas, his own will, ahead of God's plan. So much so that he is willing to kill the newborn king, the baby Messiah. He is willing to kill the Messiah in order to preserve his own power. That's how far Herod was willing to go to stop this change God was bringing about in the world. Well, what happens beyond our gospel reading this morning is that Herod is not able to locate the exact child. As our gospel tells us, the wise men are warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so they don't. But Herod still tries to stop God's plan by going even farther. He issues an order to kill every child in Bethlehem under 2 years old, in one of the most disturbing, horrifying acts we can read about in the Bible. But Joseph is warned in a dream by God, and he and Mary and Jesus escape to Egypt for 2 years until Herod dies and they can return. Now, what we can understand from this on the surface is that ultimately we cannot stop God's changes. We can't stop God's will from happening. But we can do a tremendous amount of damage trying, as Herod did. Now, fast forward to today. The stories in our lives are a little different. But the dynamic remains the same when it comes to changes, right? Change is coming in our lives. Now, not all change is good. And changing for the sake of change really doesn't benefit anyone. But what we need to be mindful of, what we need to be looking for, is that some of the change in our life, some of the change in our life together as a parish, is put in motion by God to draw us closer to Him. You know, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, marked a change initiated by God. A change for the betterment of the entire world. With Jesus comes redemption and the opportunity for all, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, young and old, then and now, to become children of God, to live the life that we were created to live. And all of us who have the benefit of having been baptized are set apart, are literally sealed and consecrated to live that life. But we struggle. We're not there yet. So God, because He loves us, keeps initiating changes in our lives to move us along, to get us there, to bring us closer to Him. God is always kind of nudging us, tugging, pulling us along when we get stuck in periods of being very comfortable in our life. God is always initiating change so that we can share more and more of the life He wants us to live as part of His family. Now, He does this through a variety of ways, but the two most common in the Bible and that we see in our gospel today are God uses situations that occur beyond our control, and He brings new people into our life. And today's gospel has an example of both. The wise men, they see something happening in the sky. They see a star. It's outside their control. They don't control the stars. They see it. Something big is happening, and they react to it. They follow the star to the newborn king. You know, Herod hears about the birth of this child, whom he suspects to be the Messiah. And he is afraid of what this person's presence might change for him personally. And he tries to stop him. And we could probably think in our lives of situations that have happened outside of our control that have brought about a change, that has brought us closer to God. And we could probably think about, most of you I'm sure could think about, a person in your life that has helped you in your path to God. God does this all the time. And God today will continue. He will still use events and situations. He still sends agents of change to help us grow into the person, into the Christian, into the parish that He wants us to be. My prediction for 2011, I'm very bold here, is that this will continue to happen. Change will happen this coming year, no doubt about it. Our gospel today shows us two ways to deal with it. Herod, fearful, selfish, thinking of himself only, wants to thwart God's plan to keep his own thing going. He ends up sinking to levels that we might think no human being could sink to. The wise men, on the other hand, they see something amazing happen. They see something they believe from God and get up and go to be a part of it. God will initiate change in our lives this year through events, through people. God will initiate change in this parish this year through events out of our control, through people within it. All with the intention of bringing you, me, us, closer to Him. Now this is important. We need to look and discern and find that middle way between seeing everything, every person, every event, every change as something initiated by God for us. We know that's not true. We know not everyone we meet is someone God brings in our life to change us. We know not every event happens to change us, to bring us closer to God. But we need to find the middle ground between that extreme and, let's say, where my grandma was, that all change of anything at any time is always bad and never welcome. Somewhere in the middle, is where we need to be. Now, how do we do that is the tricky part. And first, I would say we need to have a life of prayer. We need to take the time to communicate with God to make sense of the changes going on around us. Ask Him to open our eyes. Ask Him to open your eyes, and He will. Ask Him to help you accept change through a difficult time, and He will. Ask God for help in making sense of the changes going on in our lives. And second, and I didn't intend this to be a commercial, but it's going to be for a minute. Talk to clergy sometimes. That's what we're here for. You know, and believe it or not, it's something we actually love to do. Not that we know it all, we don't, but to be another set of eyes or another perspective to the changes happening in your life. Maybe another person can help you see that spiritual dimension in the things and changes happening. And again, believe it or not, we actually like doing that. But, okay, commercial order. Now, all change that comes from God, as I said, is intended to help us become closer to Him. The wise men saw a star. They knew something big was happening. A newborn king was worthy of their worship 1,000 miles away. So they packed up their caravan and they went. Their journey brought them right to Christ the Lord. May the changes that God certainly will bring about in our lives in the coming year, 2011, bring us to that very same place, close to our newborn King, Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.